You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up, everybody, and how's it going? I'm Alex Goldstick, and you are listening to the Spring Forward Podcast. Welcome to our 10th episode. While the interview in today's episode with Team South safety Michael Iguagu was recorded on Friday, the day before the Spring League's first doubleheader on April 7th, we are posting on Sunday night. In that doubleheader, Team West defeated Team North 30-13 behind a player of the game performance by quarterback Brian Scott. In Game 2, quarterback Johnny Manziel made his return to the football field for the first time since December 2015 and performed well despite his Team South losing to Team East in a close one, 11-7. Each team will get one more game this Thursday, April 12th. Now, live from Austin in his hometown, our interview with Michael. Michael Iffy Iguagu is a safety for Team South at the Spring League, where he is competing in his native Austin, Texas. He's a University of Texas San Antonio alum and got a taste of the pros with the Bears in the summer of 2017. He's also been unofficially dubbed by me as the most interesting man at the Spring League for reasons that we'll hit on later. But for now, let's welcome Mike on the Spring Forward.
Hey, what's up, guys?
So we had wide receiver Joe Anderson on yesterday as the first Texan on Spring Forward. But you're the first true Austin native on the pod. You played at Connolly High School right here in town. So what's it been like getting to play again in your hometown?
It's lovely, man. It's lovely. I think it's funny how things all really come full circle. I was talking with Sean Clinch, a guy that covered me whenever I was he's a KVU news reporter that covered me whenever I was in high school. And I was really just telling him, it's like, you know, everything happens for a reason. There's a reason why it's in Austin, Texas. There's a reason why I've been in Austin, Texas. And it's just a cool experience for me to be able to go through in my hometown.
And I forgot to mention also that this is episode 10. So it's a nice round number. And it's good to celebrate it with someone who's home.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
You stayed semi-local for college. I mean, San Antonio's down the road about an hour. Is that right?
About an hour and a half, yeah.
Attending UTSA, where you were a roadrunner for four seasons.
Yeah.
Give me the highlights of your college career, and what gave you the belief while you were there that you were ready for the next level of football?
Okay, so highlights while I was there, I would have to say, one, after having my kidney removed right before my senior season, and then having arguably probably the best season I've had all 4 years.
And we'll get to that senior season next.
As far as what gave me the confidence, I'd have to probably say the coaching staff. I had a very amazing, whenever I first came in, position coach in Perry Eliano, and then head coach in Larry Coker. And, you know, Larry Coker's coached guys like Ed Reed and, you know, all these other guys from Miami when they were the actual U. And for him to come up to me and be like, hey, you remind me of Ed Reed. You play like Ed Reed. That just gave me, a surplus amount of confidence. And then whenever the icing on the cake is whenever we got LSU head coach as our head coach, Coach Frank Wilson, and he just instilled this crazy amount of just like dog savage in me to where, I mean, if you're hurt, it doesn't matter. I'll play with one arm. I'll play with one leg. Like, he's such a savage, and I love it. Really great coach, and that is what allowed me to really believe that, you know, I can go to the next level and thrive on the next level.
While we're on the subject of coaching for a second, your defensive coordinator and position coach, Pete Golding, was recently hired by Alabama to coach the linebackers, but it's widely speculated that he'll be named defensive coordinator there.
Yeah.
I don't want to put UTSA down, but Alabama's a different caliber.
100%.
You were second team all conference under him, and again, we'll get to the stats of your senior season next, but what can the Crimson Tide defense look forward to under Coach Golding?
The thing about Coach Golding is he is a one player's coach, but that man is a genius. He is a genius. We, I forgot, basically our defense was like the jack of all trades, whatever your flavor was. Coaches, they had us in a position as far as the safeties go to where they saw you playing deep thirds, they saw you playing deep halves, they saw you rolling down in the box. We didn't do strong safety or free safety. Everybody had to play strong and free if you were safety. All we did is left and right invert. So depending on the formation and this, this, and that, we would just switch strong and free. And that, to me, that was the first time I've ever done something like that. But playing for Coach Golding, it was a different experience. There's so much. He's one of those coaches that allows so much freedom for his guys. But you know at the end of the day, everything you're doing is under his supervision. He's an amazing coach.
You think Bama might have the athletes to pull off his defense?
Oh, 100%. 100%. We did too.
So you're a safety that's known for having a really good nose for the ball, being able to prevent the big play. Or stopping big plays from becoming even bigger ones.
Mm-hmm.
Your senior season, you earned second team All-Conference USA honors. That included 83 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 8 passes defense. There's, football world speculation on what that term is. 1 interception, 2 forced fumbles, and 1 fumble recovery. That being said, reading some of your draft profiles, some have questioned your top-end speed and think you might be better suited as a linebacker where you played in high school. It also seems that at every stop along the way of your career, you're recognized as a really well-respected leader. So break down your game for us and where you see yourself playing at the next level if you had your way.
If I had my way at the next level, I would love to play strong safety for a team that loves a very physical and intelligent football player. I would not mind at all playing outside linebacker for any program. Outside linebacker to me that's cake. That's easy. That's a walk in the park. I can do that. I can wake up out of my sleep and go play outside linebacker. I'm sorry. But I would just love to. I'd love to play strong safety, rover, outside linebacker for any program. I think, like you said, man, I think I bring a certain level of versatility to whatever program that I'm a part of. And, I would love to play that in the NFL.
And what got into you senior year? Was it maturity? Was it getting used to a system? Something clicked?
It was Coach Wilson. Because if I'm being honest, I played my senior year at about 60%.
Because of your surgery?
Yeah. I was 60%, man. And I felt it throughout every game, slowing me down a bit. But the mentality that I was able to just get into that zone that Coach Wilson helped me just really unleash. It's really a savage mode to where, I didn't give a dang if my leg was falling off. I was going to go out there and just, give it my all. Senior season, I think the biggest change for me was my mentality because of Coach Wilson. He was really the sole factor in that.
So you finish your senior season, by summer you're in rookie mini camp with the Bears. If you're at 60% your senior season, how are you feeling when summer comes around?
So summer comes around towards the end of the season during the bowl game. I got better throughout the season progressed. And then I went and spent 3-4 months at the Michael Johnson Performance Center, isolated. We did a month and a half of just pure rehabilitation, working on my lower ab muscles that got affected by the surgery. And, probably 2.5 months of being at MJP, I'm back at 100%. And so I go out, I have my pro day, and then I get up to Bears camp, and man, I'm feeling top notch, And so they got me there, and I'm rotating in. First day, I think I was like at the fourth string or something, because they just put us wherever. And then by the second day, I'm rotating in. Me and Eddie Jackson, that they drafted from the fourth round or whatever. It was me, him going in, and then another guy, Dallas. We were all rotating in, and coaches said that they loved me. They said that they loved me. They said that they wanted to bring me back in for fall camp. Before that, though, I mean, the San Francisco 49ers said that they were going to draft me in the fifth round. End up going with a guy from Florida.
So you learn very quickly what the business of sports is
like. Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. There's no loyalty or award is bond, which I don't expect that. It's business, you know. So I didn't take it hard, but, yeah, so I go up to Chicago. They end up not pulling the trigger, and then I'm back in Austin.
But that summer, it still makes you feel like you belong, how you perform there.
100%. 100%. If anything, that was the validation I needed. Because at MJP, I mean, you're around these guys that, you know, you have combine guys, you have guys that are just going to be doing pro day, and you're around all these guys, and I'm seeing how I stack up to them. You'd have, I don't know his name, but running back, he was with Detroit Lions, Amir something, he'd come in, and me and him, we're doing drills together, and I'm like, oh, he's human. Like, they bleed the same blood, you know. Just really innocent thoughts of, you know, somebody who hasn't been around NFL players. So you get there and you start getting acclimated to it, and you realize that, dude, I'm just as good as these people. And I go to Chicago Bears camp, and I was like, oh, shoot, I'm better than a lot of these people. But, you know, how the situation played out, I just didn't get picked up in the draft. I didn't get picked up by the Bears. And so, back in Austin training, and then I hear about the Spring League.
And we'll definitely get to the Spring League, but do you take any time, and it's your profession, but do you take any time when you're in Chicago just look around and say, this is the NFL, this is crazy?
No, not really.
Or this is really nice, look at all this gear.
Yeah, no, it's more so of a, like, I don't know, for me, I'm weird, though, because whenever I'm in the moment of anything, I don't really realize how, you know, significant or just monumental the moment is. Until I look back on it days later, or if I look at a picture that was taken from that little experience, I'll look at that and be like, dude, what? I was with an NFL team. Like, that's some real stuff right there. But no, in the moment, it's one of those things, you're just so focused on the day-to-day that you don't even realize that you're in it, you know?
So let's get to the Spring League. How do you find out about it? How long until you find out about it, until you get accepted, and it's in your hometown, and that's a fairly easy commute.
Yeah. So before the Spring League, so after Chicago Bears camp, I was pretty devastated, man. I was devastated for, like, probably, I'll give myself 3 days. It wasn't that much. But I was devastated whenever I got home. I remember going to a lake in Austin, Pflugerville Lake, and I had just bought the book, The Alchemist. And I read The Alchemist probably, like, you know, one day for sure. And it just taught me and confirmed so much that your journey is the treasure more than, like, oh, I got to get here, I got to get here, I got to get here, and then I'll find the treasure or feel the treasure. But all these experiences that I'm going through are for a purpose, and it's the experiences that you get out of them. You know, that's the fruit. And so I remember looking on social media one day after I read The Alchemist, and I find my mentor, Timothy Sykes, in the stock market. He had just posted a picture of, like, a blue Lamborghini and a Ferrari. I'm just like, who is this guy? Like, flashy McJones or whatever. And but I start looking at his stuff, and he actually knows what he's talking about. So I'm still working out, mind you, in this whole time period, because I'm like, I'm not dropping the fact. Like, you go up there and you realize just how good you are compared to these other players. Now I'm like, oh, I'm super hungry now. So I'm still working out in this time period, and I'm teaching myself the stock market from my mentor's course. And so we'll get to the Spring League, but it's a big story. But in a matter of
most interesting man in the Spring League.
So from the time Bears dropped me, probably like a week, two after, I'm studying the stock market all the way until about December, taught myself how to trade stocks. So I'm day trading and training for the NFL simultaneously. And, okay, most people say that they study, man. But when I tell you, I took out the blinds in my room, right? Or I left the blinds. I mean, I took out the little curtains, and I put nothing in my room. There's nothing but dark curtains. I turned it into a legit basement because, for me, like I told you, I'm big on the mentality of it. I had to fully just submerge in this idea, like, okay, right now you're in the basement. It's grind mode. You don't need to be out partying. You don't need to be socializing. I got off of Instagram. I don't really get on Twitter, but got off of social media like we were talking about, just really unplugged from everything, and I just went to work. And I'm studying literally, man, 16, 17, 18 hours a day. I'll wake up probably 7 in the morning, get into the market, study some stocks that are running, get into the market about 8:30, trade the market from 8:30 to 3 p.m. Central, and then I will study, and these videos, these webinars that I'm studying are like an hour and a half, 2 hours a piece, and I'm digesting like 4 or 5, like back to back to back, taking a break to use the restroom, you know, taking a break to eat. And
so you listen to this podcast right back. On double speed.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I put the podcast on, yeah, times two. Listening to podcasts, I'm just digesting everything. In my free time, I'm going to a park and I'm reading books, and, like, I just feel like this beast that is just being pumped with nothing but, like, knowledge and whatever. And all the while, I'm training as well, so I'm fitting that in there. But my agent approaches me because we got offered CFL during that time. I turned down the CFL. I was like, I'd rather trade stocks right now. I love football, don't get me wrong, but for me, it's NFL or nothing. And so, fast forward, my agent tells me about the Spring League and that it's going to be in Austin, Texas. And I'm already on this whole kick of, like, everything happens for a reason, like, feeling super just, I don't know, spiritual or whatever. And I was like, there's no coincidence that it's in my hometown right now. And so I heard, you know, of course, I heard Johnny's going to be in it, Menzel. He's going to bring out some great exposure. I heard Brian Woods was a great commissioner. And my agent was saying nothing but good things about it. So I was like, yeah, for sure, I'll do it. I'll do the Spring League.
So tell us what it's been like the last week now since non-quarterbacks and receivers checked in. They were here a day early, but what's it been like on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really good. There's a lot of talent here. It's great competition. The practices they're very organized. They're very swift. It reminds me of our practices in college, actually. But I love it. I love it. Scouts are coming in and out. And, you know, the biggest thing whenever you're at any type of showcase or something that you want to gain exposure for is you want to make sure that there's, you know, scouts there or NFL.
They're there.
CFL.
They're coming
yeah,
in and out,
they,
yeah.
They're all here coming in and out. So, but it's been great, man. It's been great on the field. Seriously.
And the coaching staff, do you recognize any of the names or any even the Team South players outside of Johnny that you've been suited up with?
Yeah, I recognize Lake Seastruck. I think at Conley, before I got there, Conley actually played Lake, and he ran up, down, left, right, all over us.
Because you weren't there yet.
Because I wasn't there. That's the exact reason. No, but I recognize him. Me and Dylan, we've really been able to connect. He's
Dylan Haynes,
safety at UT, Austin boys. He's into real estate, so we're always talking about something in finance, money. But yeah, there's some guys here.
So you come from a strong family of football players and athletes. Your brother Martin also played at UT. Your cousin, is it IK Enekpali?
That's close, Enekpali, yeah.
Okay, has spent 4 seasons in the NFL. His sister, also your cousin Nico, was a basketball player for UT, drafted in the WNBA by the Storm in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get out of having people so close to you be in a similar profession and position as you might be?
I think it's the...
And all older than you, right?
Yeah, all older than me. I'm the baby of all of us. But I think it's what you're talking about. It goes back to the confidence and that, like, self-assurance of knowing I belong in this professional athlete realm. My brother, who's a personal trainer with Nike, he's taken me through Nike workouts that are very synonymous to the workouts that I was going through at Michael Johnson Performance Center. So I was like, okay, so the shift from working out there at this big facility and working out with my brother, it's not much different. So, okay, I'm good there. And then my cousin Ike introduces me to a personal trainer. I'm not working with him anymore. I'm working with a DB coach that actually had trained Aaron Ross at UT.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I've got a quality.
Let's go Giants.
Yeah, I'm like, I got a quality, you know, DB coach. So I'm not missing much there either. But yeah, it just coming from a family that has been involved in professional sports just gives you that assurance, that confidence, man.
So back to the most interesting man in the spring league stuff. We day trader, check. Football player, check. You're also a music producer.
Yeah.
You're a rapper, singer.
Yeah.
You go by Iffy.
Iffy, yeah. My
And we were also talking about on the field putting together an influencer marketing company. Just take us through what you're doing. And you know, we talked about the money in the football, but how do you find time in your day to do everything you're doing? And what did I miss?
So I have a wonderful business partner. I have a wonderful personal assistant. I have a wonderful another business associate, and then some other business connects that I work with that all make everything so easy. Because so if I had to break it down in like a tree branch, picture me like right here. I don't want to say at the top, but picture me right here, and there's a segment that branches off, and like let's say it's music over here. Okay, to my left in the segment that's branching down for the people that are listening. In the music realm, now you have people that are just involved with the music. You know, I have another buddy who's an artist. We grew up together. We actually did a show in Philadelphia. They flew us out when we were in high school. He's solely focused on the music. My business partner and I, he helps me with everything. My buddy Christian, he's the one that I trade the stocks with day in and day out. He comes to my house every single morning. We're looking at the same plays together. So it's more of like it's definitely a campaign, man, that
conglomerate.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I'm going to turn it into something beautiful. There's so many different moving pieces all at once. But it doesn't get out of hand because I have a great support team. Helping me out with everything, but yeah.
Does that make football easier or harder for you? I mean, I think for a lot of guys, they're here because this is their profession. They're qualified to be football players. Their passion is football, and that's what they want. But for you, it's just a passion. I mean, it can turn into a profession and a very high paying one at that.
Right.
But you've got these other things that you're good at.
Right.
Clearly, does that make it easier mentally to deal with the success and the failure of what might come athletically?
I think 100% it makes it way easier because you're just out there having fun. And don't make no mistake. You know, I put my all into every single thing I do. I give my best. I love playing football, and I'm very passionate about it. And whenever I'm focused on something, I'm solely focused on that, which is the reason why I have other guys in place to keep things moving while I focus on this. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where – So to some people, it's actually an advantage whenever football is your only way out. You know what I mean? And without football, you're going to be starving on the street or something like that. To some people, that's an advantage. But I think to a lot of people, it makes it such a stressor that a lot of times you can get in your own head and you can psych yourself out. For me, it's very – football becomes therapeutic. It becomes a physical relief for me. And – being a part, it allows me to put an emphasis on the camaraderie of football. Actually getting to build relationships with my teammates, build relationships with the coaches, instead of, because I can get very cutthroat. You get what I'm saying? On the field, I can get very cutthroat. But instead of just, I used to, whenever football was literally the only thing that I had, I used to zone in and be a bit of like an a-hole sometimes, because it's like, I don't care about none of your feelings, none of your personality. I'm here to play ball. That's it. You know, but you get to a point, you just like, you don't have to be that guy. For me, at least, coming from where I came from, man, you know, there's some personality traits that you that you get, you know, that I had to really figure out how to taper down. So, yeah, it's definitely a stress reliever for me.
Well, and to wind it down and to play draft analyst for a second, I mean, I think what you're describing is a lot of what we hear on these draft analysis shows about a quarterback like Josh Rosen at UCLA. You know, he needs to be intellectually stimulated, this and that. That's a negative for football. But, I mean, football's such an intellectual game. If you've watched any – well, I mean, I've never been in the inside of a – until the spring league, I've never been in the inside of a position meeting. But
yeah.
It's a job, football. I mean, it's not just working out and learning schemes and where is your teammate supposed to be and networking, like you said. I mean, it's the ultimate team game, and
yeah.
To me, that's an advantage, and I think I see that in you.
100%. 100%. I agree.
So thank you for coming on Spring Forward. You're this will probably be posted after the game, but tomorrow you put on pads for the first time and playing a game since when?
Since last year's bowl game in New Mexico. Yeah, probably right. About a year and a half, actually, yeah.
Ready to hit somebody.
Yeah, ready to knock them out. I want some turnovers, man.
There you go. All right, well, thank you for joining us on Spring Forward, and good luck.
Thank you, brother.
That will bring us to the end of Episode 10 of Spring Forward. Egg recorded 7 tackles and had a pass breakup in the end zone for Team South on Saturday evening. Tickets for Game 2 in Austin are still available. Head to thespringleague.com to pick up tickets for Team South's matchup against Team East and Team West's matchup against Team North. Games are at 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. local time. One ticket gets you into both games. You can follow the Spring League on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the Spring League, and you can follow me on Twitter at agstick and on Instagram at thisismyotherig. All music in this episode was provided to Spring Forward by Joshua Rosner. More from Austin coming soon. Later.